Our main purpose today, just like every day, is to worship the Lord, to be so thankful for what the Lord has done in us and through us, to celebrate in a way that we're reminded of the fellowship that we have because of the work of Jesus Christ. And it's not our role to obtain that unity, because the unity has already been established in Him. But it is our role, through the guidance of His Word and through His Holy Spirit, to guard the unity that He has already given to us. And so as we celebrate, as we humble ourselves before the Lord, let us be reminded of the great work that He has done in our past, the great work that He continues to do today, and the great work that He will finish in the future. To that, the psalmist says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." Let us pray together. Lord, as we come to this time of worship, Lord, as we, Lord willing, do a build-up to this awesome celebration of sharing the Lord's Supper together, as you did about 2,000 years ago with your disciples. Lord, let it be a sweet reminder, an important reminder to us of the beauty of the cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's work in our lives as our helper and counselor. And Lord, let us be reminded of the love of the Father and the very fact that You are coming again. And so Lord, if we, through Your Spirit, choose to celebrate and to worship standing up, sitting down, kneeling before You, coming to the altar, praying out loud, or praying to ourselves or with groups of people around us, Lord, whatever it is that we do, Lord, we ask that our hearts would not be hardened, but we will hear the sweet voice of our Lord and we will respond accordingly in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue to worship the Lord and prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the elements of the Lord's Supper together, the Scripture calls us to remember, to remember. In the Old Testament, the Scripture reminds us time and time again of the importance of putting places of remembrance, those monuments of remembrance, so that when our children and grandchildren see them, and when we see them, we'll be reminded of God's faithfulness to His people, even in the midst and oftentimes our unfaithfulness to Him. And one of those times is right before David's reign as king. There was a point where, because of the disobedience of God's people, the Ark of the Covenant was removed out of Jerusalem, and it was the Ark of the Covenant that represented the very presence of God. And yet, because of God's faithfulness to His people, He raised up David to attack the Philistines, and the Philistines were conquered. God's people regained the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant was brought back to where it was supposed to be, in Jerusalem. And so in 1 Chronicles 16, the Scripture says, "Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered." Verse 15, "Remember His covenant forever, the word that He commanded for 1,000 generations." And the question is why? Verse 14 says this, "Because He is the Lord our God." And so as we spend time with the Lord this morning, as we prepare our hearts and minds for the Lord's Supper, do you remember God's faithfulness in your past? Maybe for you, you struggle with that. Maybe you're in a season of life where you have lost sight and lost touch or feeling towards the presence of God in your life, for whatever the reasons. Maybe the season of life is hard. Maybe there's a place of rebellion. And remember what the psalmist said, that we would not harden our hearts. And so as we spend time with the Lord this morning, do you remember His faithfulness today? Maybe for you it's such a struggle that you have not seen the hand of God for a very long time. I always remind myself, go back. Go back to the cross. Go back to when my relationship with the Lord started. Remember the work on the cross, as the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's never a bad place to begin at the cross, because it's through the simple message of the cross and the joy of salvation that we can truly remember the faithfulness of our Lord. And so as we spend time personally with the Lord at this time, just pray to him, praise him, through standing, through kneeling, through coming to the altar, wherever the Lord is leading you to worship him and how to worship him, just spend time remembering the miracle of God's work in your life. And as we continue to pray together, the worship team will lead us in a time of praise through song. But spend time with the Lord. Remember. Remember. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to just pause for a moment in the busyness of our life, to remember your greatness, not ours. To remember your protection and your provision. Lord, I pray that during this time of worship, Lord, we will, in a growing way, become more and more aware that you are God and we are not. Lord, that you would remind us that you are sovereign, you have all authority and power. And in that authority and power, Lord, though we deserve the very wrath of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, we experience the grace and mercy of God. Lord, thank you for loving us at our worst. And in our worst, you have always given us your best. Lord, thank you. Amen. As we continue worshiping the Lord, as we continually prepare our hearts and minds to worship the Lord, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate the goodness of God. We want our hearts and our minds and our voices and our wills, everything, the core of who we are, to well up with such great praise for the Lord. And you can just imagine the Israelites, God's people, when the Ark of the Covenant was gone, the very presence of God in many ways was not in their midst, yet God was always faithful, and now all of a sudden the Ark of the Covenant is back, the very presence of God is with them in a way that they had not experienced for a very long time. Can you imagine the worship that happens when we understand and experience the very presence of God? You know, I think our greatest need in life is not questions answered, but the very presence of God in the midst of when those answers do not come. And so in 1 Chronicles 16, the psalmist writes, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. So it's not just me celebrating, but it's celebrating in such a way that I am sharing the good news of the gospel. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Verse 23. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. In verse 34, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So as we go to a time of celebrating the goodness of our Lord, not just a personal celebration, But collectively, we realize that God's people are celebrating him, not just here at 13 San Miguel and not just online, but celebrating the Lord all throughout the world. I think about Aaron and Alicia, who are celebrating the goodness of God in Southeast Asia. And we'll see a video update of that at the end of our service. I think about Toots and McKelvey, who are in Ecuador as we speak, their first weekend there, celebrating the goodness of the Lord as they declare his wondrous works among the people. And I think about you as you go to school or go to work or wherever it is, as the presence of God wells up in you in such a way that you can't but help celebrate the goodness of God. And so as we spend time with the Lord personally at this moment, will you celebrate him? Maybe you have found yourself being hardened to the things of God, and because of the hardness of heart, that celebration has waned. Maybe for you, celebration has been replaced with callousness, or celebration has been replaced with being overly critical, or maybe celebration has been replaced with, let's be honest, laziness and consumerism within the body of Christ. And through our worship today, you have been reminded through the Spirit's work in you that there should be such a celebration for what God has done and what he is doing and what he will do in the future. And so let's just spend time with the Lord, celebrating him. Please stand and celebrate, sit, celebrate, come to the altar and celebrate. Whatever the Lord is leading you to do, let us just worship him. And after a period of time, our worship team will lead us in song of praise again. Let us celebrate the Lord. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to celebrate you. Lord, thank you for those moments in life where the busyness of life, raising children, being husbands or wives, or being leaders, going to work, whatever it is, Lord, thank you for those moments, those simple moments that you give us just a glimpse of your handiwork, Lord. And in those moments, you give us an opportunity to celebrate you. Lord, I pray that as the church is gathered here this morning, both on campus and off, Lord, that we will collectively join together and celebrate you in spirit and truth. Lord, you are worthy of all praise and all honor. Lord, let our hearts be places of reverent, humble worship. To know that the table has been prepared not by our hands, but the table has been prepared by your hands. Lord, thank you again for this time to celebrate you. As we continue to worship, as we continue to lead up to the Lord's Supper, we want to take an opportunity to examine. It is so important in the life of a believer to examine not just actions and words, but to examine motives behind those actions and words. If all of life is to be worship to the Lord, not just an event that is attended on a Sunday morning, but life is to be worship towards the Lord, then it would beg the important question, is my life truly doing that? And so examination is extremely important. And that's what we see in this particular part of Scripture in 1 Chronicles 16:11. The Scripture speaks of seeking. In order to seek the Lord, he has to be what? He has to be number one in your life. And yet our lives seek so many different things, so many different false comforts, false securities. And yet we're reminded here, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. The phrase there, his strength, is referring to the fact that he is the rock of ages. He is the ultimate foundation, the ultimate security and refuge. The Scripture goes on to say in verse 27, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. And so as you examine your heart this morning, as you have allowed the Lord to do that, is there a place, a thought, an action, or a motive that is not ascribing worship to the glory to His name? Is there a place of confession, a place of repentance, a place of renewed trust and belief in the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ? As we examine, as we have allowed the Lord to examine, wherever that place is for you, and normally it's a place of sensitivity, would you be faithful to Him? Confess it, repent of it, trust in the goodness of the gospel this morning? As we spend time allowing the Lord to examine our hearts, let us all be reminded that we're all prone to wander. We're all prone to leave the God that we love. None of us are immune to it. Church attendance doesn't satisfy that. Scripture memorization doesn't satisfy that. Our hearts are what theologians say, idol factories. We all have places of idolatry in our life. And that's why it's important to daily, to weekly, and as a church family, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, to take a moment to allow the Lord to examine the genuineness of our hearts, to expose those areas of sinfulness and idolatry. And yet, in God's great compassion, He doesn't leave us there. Through His Spirit, He wants to restore us again. And as the Lord has spoken to you this morning, will you confess, repent, and trust in the goodness of His gospel? So let us spend time in prayer this morning as individuals. Let us go before Him, allow Him to examine our hearts. And just in a brief period of time, our worship team will lead us in another song of praise. Lord, thank You for this time of examining. Lord, just one of the most important aspects of the Christian walk is to allow the truths of Your Word and Your Spirit to examine what's truly in our hearts and minds. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your gracious hand at work. Lord, as You expose, Lord, and as You treat with the only solution that will cure our sin problem, Lord, thank You for the love of Christ in us and through us. Lord, we know that examination where sin is exposed isn't oftentimes addressed in one sitting, Lord, but it is a process. And so, Lord, where You have examined and exposed areas in our life that need the healing hand of the gospel, Lord, let us be reminded that we cannot do it on our own. Lord, let us not only soak in Your grace and Your mercy, but Lord, let us, with great discernment and wisdom, bring on others within our church family to help, support, encourage, hold us accountable, and to constantly put the word of the Lord before us as we go on this journey of healing. So Lord, allow us to be sensitive in those areas as well. But thank You for this opportunity to examine. Amen. Now, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, if you do not have one of these, I would encourage you to look in the front of the sanctuary or in the back of the sanctuary. You'll see trays that have these available. And I know some of you have young children that you're doing this with as well. And so we want to give an opportunity just to prepare, but just be reminded that you do not need to be a member of Charleston Baptist Church to celebrate the Lord's Supper with us, but you do need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so if during this worship time, if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please, by all means, join with us together as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And so if you would, in preparation, but right before we read the scripture together, the easiest way to do these things is to push completely down on that tab, slide your thumb off just a smidge. You'll see that little clear pack, clear tab, pull up. That's where the bread is. And then after the bread, we'll do the juice. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 11. Again, we've had a time of remembering, a time of celebrating and a time of examining, and you'll see that in this passage why we've done what we've done in 1 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul giving instruction to the church in Corinth says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink the cup." And then in verse 33, the scripture says, "So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another." And so we have taken a time to remember, to celebrate, to examine. And so together, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. The bread represents the death of Jesus for his people. The scripture says, Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So if you would, at this time, take the element of the bread. If you would, get your cup ready as well. The cup represents the shed blood of Jesus Christ, reminding us of the new covenant, that it is finished. Praise God, it is finished. The scripture says, "In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" If you would, go ahead and take the element of the cup. Up until this point, we spent a bulk of our time individually praying before the Lord, praising the Lord as individuals. And now we want to take an opportunity to gather around in small groups of prayer and praise. And so as you look around, people around you, even if you don't know them, we're one in Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, we are family. And so I would encourage you to gather together in small groups, if you would. And we're just going to spend a time just praising and praying out to the Lord in small groups. And after a period of time, the worship team will draw us back together as we sing another song of praise to him. But at this time, if you would, just gather in smaller groups and just praise the Lord together and pray to the Lord together. Thank you.